You're listening to Bridges to Excellence, Inspired Leadership in Payments and FinTech.
The professional anything practices and practices until they approach perfection. Sales is a profession. If we in sales don't consider ourselves professionals, we are doing ourselves and our profession a disservice. And in so far as we are a profession, it requires training. And training requires learning. And learning requires practice and repetition. There isn't a thing I do, including what we're doing right now, that I haven't practiced on my own.
That was Tim McQueenie, head of U.S. Indirect Acquiring and ISO Sales at Ingenico. For sales professionals who want to uplevel their selling skills, well, this episode is especially for you.
Welcome to Bridges to Excellence podcast, Inspired Leadership in Payments and FinTech, bringing you conversations with payments' most fascinating people on top of their game. Leaders, influencers, experts, and innovators. Each weekly episode turns our guests' wisdom into practical advice. Their personal journeys are meant to inspire and challenge you to explore your possibilities. Here is your host, Desmond Nicholson.
In this episode, the spotlight is on our special guest, Tim McQueenie, head of U.S. Indirect Acquiring and ISO Sales at Ingenico, and most recently, among ETA's, the Electronic Transaction Association's 2024 honorees of top payment sales professionals. This annual award recognizes stellar sales professionals who have exhibited an all-around passion for excellence. Tim's journey in payments spans over two decades with a focus on sales, leadership, and strategic partnerships, primarily in the acquiring space, providing point-of-sale product solutions. Working with the top equipment providers in the industry, Tim's performance at every level of sales and sales management earned him top sales honors and accolades throughout his tenure with respective companies. This legacy of consistency continued to this day, where in 2020 through 2023, he and his team crushed it, achieving record revenue sales for Ingenico. It's from this depth of experience and knowledge that Tim will be taking us on his journey while providing some actionable takeaways along the way. So, stay with us. Tim, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Bridges to Excellence podcast.
Thank you, Desmond. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me to join.
Indeed. And what also makes this episode special is that it gives me and our listeners yet another occasion to celebrate your ETA 2024 Top Payment Sales Professional Award of Excellence. Tim, congratulations.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you for that. And it is a tremendous honor. Surrounded by hugely successful people in that group, but I was thrilled, I was surprised, but very honored to be a member of that august group of people, and can't wait to see them at Transact this year in Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas.
And I think that's where the official presentation will take place, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And of course, to the other 49 honorees, we salute you as
well.
Absolutely. Now, putting aside all modesty, Tim, how does it really feel to receive this prestigious award?
Oh, I have no trouble putting aside all modesty. I'm somewhat pragmatic on awards. Awards are the end result for a long and detailed and multifaceted and teamed projects that come to fruition. And if it's an award for one project or is it an award for a tremendous year or a career, Isaac Newton reportedly said, I stand on the shoulders of giants. And that's very true. For anyone who has ever won an award in any arena, the awards are really given to not only the individual, but the team and the network of people that have worked in that arena or that genre to allow the person to execute a strategy and deliver and be recognized for success. So the awards, and I've been lucky enough to win many awards, in all honesty, I don't keep them around too long. I keep the memories and I keep the processes of how successful initiatives were completed. The actual physical awards are a little less important to me than winning as a team.
I got you. Now, for the benefit of those who don't know anything about Ingenico, can you give us a summary, overview about Ingenico as a company and who they serve?
I've been with Ingenico for 5 years now. It'll be 5 years in June. And Ingenico is the largest manufacturer of point-of-sale equipment in the world today. So we enjoy the number one slot in that arena. And as we move into alternate payment methods and alternate processing methods, Ingenico is moving along with those trends and those directions. But for many years, Ingenico, based in Paris, France, our United States headquarters is based in Alpharetta, Georgia. Ingenico enjoyed and still enjoys today the number one position in providing payment solutions for merchants of all types, multinational merchants, all the way down to a level four mom and pop soda shop. We've got a product and a system for them. And in this industry that we're in, particularly here in the United States, it's a very competitive industry, and we have some very tough competitors that are trying to do the exact same thing. What I do for Ingenico, and I have for the last 5 years, is manage the indirect acquiring and ISO channel, pretty much formerly known as ISO. And ISO stands for Independent Service Organization. But as times have changed in the payment industry in the United States, and I've been in it now for just about 27 years. That's a long time. Every time I say that, I can't believe it. It's changed so much, and it continues to change not only today, it changes even more rapidly now than it did 10, 15 years ago. What we do is we provide solutions. So as a company that is very big, we also need to remain very nimble and very reactive to trends. And we've got some really interesting payment trends on the horizon now. But in a nutshell, that's what Ingenico is. What I do is I manage a channel that calls on those customers, such as some of our larger customers like Shift4, North American Bank Card, Payrock, I mean, I can go on and on, have entrusted us with either all or much of their payment solutions for their customers. And that's a heavy responsibility. It's an honor. It's a heavy responsibility to maintain, to make sure that we don't disappoint those very, very large and impactful customers and partners. Really should start using the word partnership more than customers, because, you know, the more we get into and more we do for our partners, it truly is a partnership. Moving from a hardware products only into a systems partnership, we are integrating together as one. So it truly is, we do manage and sustain partnerships.
And of course, we'll get into some more details about that. Now, let's get into your backstory, shall we? Where did you grow up and where did you go to school?
Sure. Yep. I was born in Southern California in the late 1950s. I'm a baby boomer, 1957. La Mirada was my hometown. And I lived in California until I graduated high school. Then I moved back east to live with my father, and I went to college in New Jersey. I did not graduate college. I left college to follow my heart and a relationship to Seattle, Washington. So you're getting a zigzag here in my in my geographic movements. And I lived in Seattle for just about 12 years. Had two boys, and one of my sons still lives in the Seattle area. Another one lives down here with me in the Phoenix area. And then I opportunity and personal relationship moved me to Chicago area for 5 years. And all that time, most of the time, I was in the motor carrier industry. I wasn't in this industry back in the 80s and early to mid 90s. And I was in the sales arena for customers such as Consolidated Freightways and LTL carriers and non-vessel operating common carriers. And so I had multiple jobs in that arena. Very interesting industry. But when I came to Phoenix, and this was my personal choice in 1996, I wanted to get into something a little bit different. And so I've been here since 1996, and I've been in the electronic payments industry ever since.
So what enticed you to get into the industry at that time?
Well, I had reasonably successful in motor carrier, but motor carrier business is interesting. You know, we see all the trucks on the road. When you're in sales for a motor carrier, you're selling a service. And in that service, there is nothing tangible involved. When someone buys an Ingenico terminal, there's a terminal on the desk, which is a brand identifier. People can see us, touch it, feel it. It works. It's tremendous. In the trucking industry, the only brand you're really selling is your name and your security. You're selling air on a trailer is what mm-hmm. you're selling. And that will sharpen your sales skills more than anything. You know, how much are you willing to pay for air between here and Charlotte, North Carolina? I got into this industry because I became bored with motor carrier and transportation. And I answered an ad in the Arizona Republic looking for salespeople to sell Visa and MasterCard. And I thought, how simple is this? So I called on the manager of the Phoenix office of Card Service International, a company no longer here, or here maybe in other Forum Connect, another great customer of ours, by the way, partner. Too many years of a customer. And I took right to it. I loved it. And it's a completely different type of sales process, you realize. I mean, it's when you're calling on someone who is opening a business, it's pretty much a one-call close. If you walk out of that business without the agreement in your hand, you're probably going to be realizing one of two things very shortly. Number one, that person has decided not to accept credit cards to their own demise. Or number two, I've just done a really good job of setting up my competitor of coming in and closing the deal for me. So once I learned that I lost two or three deals like that, and I was straight commission, I learned very quickly that it was a one-call close. And if I didn't get the sale, I was very sure that no one else was going to get that sale either. But that's how I got into it. And I took to it right away. And I worked for companies like Card Service, and I worked for First National Bank of Omaha and Global mm-hmm. Payments. And then I got my big break in this industry in 2004, when I got a call from a recruiter asked me if I'd ever consider selling equipment. Well, I was selling equipment, but I mean working for an equipment.
Right.
Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I said, well, the two that I sell the most now are Verifone and Lippman. And he said, well, the opportunity is with Lippman. So I interviewed with Moni, and I interviewed with his executive vice president of sales, and I got the job. And I've been in this end of the point of sale industry ever since, working for several different companies, but as always, each company has had their own unique strengths about them. And Lippman certainly was a very strong company at the time in the mid-2000s.
And of course, from Lippman, you went on to what?
Well, so Lippman was acquired by Verifone. But I didn't go to Verifone. I got there eventually. I went to a company called Way Systems, which is no longer here.
Okay.
And Way Systems brought me in to run North American sales. And I actually did some work in Canada for the first time, too. Way had a really unique model. It was truly mobile processing using converted cell phones. Not cell phones that had ever been used as cell phones. I learned a lot about cell phones that are never used for anything but Way Systems. But Nokia, for example, would make many, many different types of cell phones, but only release a few of them for consumer usage. I didn't know that. And so Way would buy these other phones that were perfectly good and then convert them into payment terminals by attaching a magnetic stripe reader. And the phone already came with Bluetooth. So all was needed was a Bluetooth printer that was attached to a belt loop, mobile version. So, I mean, it was really a clever and unique product. And I stayed there until Way got acquired by Verifone. And then I finally went to Verifone. I stayed at Verifone for about 11 years.
Okay. And now, full circle, you are at Ingenico.
That's right. I've been here since June of 1990. It's been a tremendous experience for me. I enjoy the company. I love our core values. We are a company that is based very heavily in environmental responsibilities. We take our social responsibilities very clearly and very carefully. It's a pleasure to talk to my customers about selling systems and I guess, 360-degree partnerships that, and mutually beneficial. It's been a lot of fun working here.
Early on, you alluded to the word partnership.
Right.
Now, in support of your partners, how is Ingenico helping them to create better experience for their customers?
Right. I mean, that's our partners are in brutally competitive industries themselves, and they need to grow their business. So simply coming alongside and offering a payment terminal is really almost table stakes.
Right.
What needs to happen from there is the creation of value. And value is probably the most important element of a sales proposition and a partnership proposition, because value is something that is difficult to capture unless you have a complete understanding of what not only your customers and customers' core values are, but the individual that you're working with, and who's primarily responsible for managing the relationship or the partnership that I'm bringing them vis-a-vis Ingenico. Those have got to be aligned, and I have to understand what those values are, and I understand what is important to our customers. And it's not just necessarily mid-growth or revenue growth, but it's growing their system and their system of value. So what we bring to the table is extensive. I mean, we do everything from provisioning and deployment of equipment to help desk, to repairs, to extended warranties. We offer them the ability to store their inventory at our facility. We will write their applications with them, for them, or we will align with a third-party provider that we work with to write their payment applications. We have got a robust cloud-based system of third-party partners that work with our Android platform, Axiom, to bring things like buy now, pay later, and inventory, and loyalty programs, and gift cards, and on and on and on and on. And these are all things that create more value to our customers as it applies to what they're doing for their customers. And if we could offer that type of esoteric value, because value is very personal, mm-hmm. I can offer you something that I think is a great value, but if it has no value to you, either practically or emotionally or on any type of financial value, I'm selling you something you don't need or want. And actually, we've been concentrating very much on value at Ingenico now for some time. And I'm reading a really excellent book on it called Selling Value by a fellow by the name of Mark Stiving. In fact, I have it right here. It's a great book because it breaks down value into many, many different arenas and the different types of value that exist with all of us. So to answer your question directly, if we're not selling 360-degree partnerships that come around to both sides, then we are missing something somewhere. And maybe it's our partner is not ready to jump into that type of value proposition. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We have it here. We want them to know we have it. And when the time is right, and that's the other thing that we've lost in the sales process, the term over time. We live in a world today of just instantaneous gratification. You either sell or you close, and if you close, you're out and you don't come back. This is not the way to maintain a relationship with a partner. It's that keeping that alive and well.
Now, let's talk about Ingenico's Android platform and POS solutions. Any new developments catering to the ISO community to help them?
Quite a few.
To help their SMB clients.
Absolutely.
What's new?
Right. Absolutely. Well, most of our customers in this channel rely on our platform acquiring partners such as Global and WorldPay and Elavon and Fiserv and on to certify products and certification products. And for those who are not familiar with certification, it's really just a process that secures the product that I'm selling to the process that our customer has, the card acceptance process that they have, and selling that to the public at large that is going to be safe, secure, reliable, not break down, not have massive mm-hmm. system breakdowns and things like that. Occasionally happens sometimes, but by and large, the uptime on these things is very high. Anyway, what we have to do is work through those processes, and they take sometimes a year or two, and we're coming to the close on some really big platform certifications. We have WorldPay, of course. We have TSYS now. Their transit to Sierra platform is launching Class B and Q1. Elavon, Chase, I mentioned WorldPay. Payrock has their own platform. They've launched our Axiom product, and First American Payment Systems operates their own gateway and their own backend platform, and they are launching our product as well. As they launch, as they become saleable, me and my team go out to our customers and prepare them for that, and we present our product, our features, benefits, our office, back office functions, our partnerships that I mentioned earlier, things that we do for our customers, and find a place within their sales system that makes sense, that helps them grow their business. And as they grow their business, we grow our business. And so it's an exciting time because we're just on the verge now of some very big platform releases.
Good. With the current innovations around verticals, embedded payments, finance, there are those pundits who are predicting the demise of POS hardware terminals as we know it. What's your argument to counter that narrative? And be nice about it, will you?
I guess I'm out of a job. Listen, before I answer that question, let me consult my crystal ball. This is
okay.
This has served me so well over the years. Crystal ball, tell me the truth. Will made-for-purpose payment terminals become extinct? How's that, crystal ball? How's that? You're not coming in clearly, crystal ball. I have been hearing about the demise. This was a gift from a customer, by the way. It's beautiful. I have no idea what it is. Maybe it is a crystal ball. I've been hearing about the demise of payment terminals for at least 15 years. Look, it's possible. At Ingenico, we acquired a company last year by the name of Foz. Foz is a person-to-person payments company using this.
Mm-hmm.
Processing with your iPhone to another, or Axiom device, Android device to another Android device, iPhone to iPhone, or interchangeably. I mean, the technology is growing rapidly. We are a part of it. But I think the people who take a lot of time making predictions like that are probably not thinking it through completely. Because when you say things like the payment terminals are going to disappear, there's really no factual data that's going to support that. Because a payment terminal is part of a greater payment ecosystem. And there are certain levels of demands on PCI and security and just cloud-based processing. There are demands that are today only met through a payment terminal. And then there are our customers and partners. I'll say that again, customers and there are our partners who have need for instance, Target is a good example, multi-lane devices. And we are in Target now with our lane devices, our lane 8000s. It's not practical to think of Target as a customer that is going to be open to something that doesn't have a payment terminal attached to it, whether that's an Apple Pay transaction,
right,
or an EMV or an MSR or a gift card or a Target gift card or whatever it is. Now, sometime off in the future when we're doing all of this electronically and through the cloud, it would be possible. And the one thing I would say about Ingenico is that we are expanding our footprint. So every time I hear about one of these either systems that's going to replace terminals or a pundit just saying, yeah, they're going to be obsolete in next number of years, I say that that's always possible, but we're prepared for that. The next great thing in payments is something we don't even know what it is yet. We are just now getting back into talking about biometrics, which over 10 years ago was the next great thing. And then it died at a pretty quick death. And now we're just getting back into it now because people realize the inherent risk in biometrics and the safety measures that have to be taken in order to protect someone's biometrics. I can't change what this is.
Your fingerprint.
When I put that and when I submit that to a credit transaction, I'm pretty much giving it out to the world. And that's a big step. So anything's possible, but I don't see it in the near-term future.
I got you. Now, Tim, I read someplace where you made the following empowering statements, which I'm about to relate back to you. And I would like you to add some more context to them. And here's the reason why. On the surface, these might appear to be common sense, especially among seasoned sales professionals, but by no means are they common practices. And do feel free to introduce any anecdote to make your point. Here we go. The professional salesperson practices and practices until they approach perfection. What can you add to that?
A lot. The professional anything practices and practices until they approach perfection. Sales is a profession. If we in sales don't consider ourselves professionals, we are doing ourselves and our profession a disservice. And in so far as we are a profession, it requires training. And training requires learning. And learning requires practice and repetition. There isn't a thing I do, including what we're doing right now, that I haven't practiced on my own. And many people say practice in front of a mirror. It's good to do it because you get an opportunity to see what it is you look like, good or bad, your hand motions, facial motions, things like that. You get an opportunity to see what your partner, because potential partner is going to be seeing. But if we don't practice until we approach perfection, we are doing ourselves, our company, our industry, and our customers a disservice. The last thing that we should do in a sales cycle is deliver the presentation. And everything happens before that. And with that, practice.
Well said. Next one. Never assume the customer is all powerful. We are being met with for a reason.
Correct. Correct. Our time is valuable. Our partner's time is valuable. If we're meeting with them about a business proposition, we're being met for a reason. Now, it's our job as salespeople to uncover the need and to develop a value proposition and present that and understand that the customer, I use that in quotation marks, is not all powerful. You're there because you have something important to sell. And if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't be there.
Absolutely.
So as I walk into a sales presentation for a partner or a new customer, I'm very interested to hear what they have to say. I'm very interested to hear what their needs are. But I'm there to provide solutions. It's not they're more powerful than I am or I'm more powerful than they are. We're here to help one another. And so when we assume, which is a bad thing to do in any case, that the customer is all powerful, we have given up all power in negotiation. We might as well just hand the customer your price book and just tell him to pick what he wants. Not a good place to be.
Very good response. Now, the next one. Sell by partnerships, sell by value, solve problems. Partnership isn't just a word. It is a way of life. If you want to succeed.
Right. And that question, I've been saying that throughout our entire time here together. It's partnership 360. Everybody's payment terminal is good. I have some really tough competitors out there. Nothing wrong with their payment terminals. I have a really good payment terminal. But if my differentiation is my hardware is better than their hardware, that's a commodity. So what we deal in here is we deal with value. And believe me, this is not, again, we talked about over time. Mm-hmm. You cannot learn a customer's value system in one call. Both parties, my company, my customer's company, have got to be willing to invest the time to understand what's valuable and what applications and systems we have to help create more value. Not only for them, but for their downstream customers, because it's all about their growth of business too. So if we sell by hardware or sell by price, we are cutting ourselves short, and we're really diminishing who we are and what we can be in a partnership relationship like this. And you know, the beautiful thing about partnerships is that they go on for many, many years. Nothing lasts forever, but they go on for many years. People can come and go. Mm-hmm. But when you sell the system and you sell the value system of the partnership, that stays. Unless one company decides that for whatever reason, it's not good for them anymore, but they have a tendency to last a very long time. I'm working with people now that I've worked with essentially since I got here. It's been 5 years and we're going strong.
The next statement: embrace any skepticism as an opportunity to listen to customers in order to position value.
One of the things that I was very fortunate in the transportation industry is we had a rigorous internal training program. And our training guru was a fellow based out of North Carolina. He's in the 80s now, worked for Carolina Freight. And he was a master. He was an absolute master at his craft. And his craft was teaching and improving the salespeople that reported up underneath him, but also helping our customers. Training is such an important part of what we do that it cannot be overstated. And unfortunately, in today's world, companies, and we chatted about this a little bit before we went live, but so many companies have gotten away from that and become, humans have become transactional. And that's a mistake. That's an unfortunate thing. But negotiation at a customer, raising objections as a sign of interest. If the customer is not raising objections, well, help them along because they certainly have some. And don't run from them. Embrace them. An objection that's been successfully handled is another big step on the road to completing the sales partnership. So why would I run from a customer objecting or questioning something that I'm presenting to them, perhaps the value of it, perhaps the price? And then those become greater points for discussion. Embrace it. Welcome objections as a sign of interest. Don't be afraid of it. And sadly, again, many salespeople fear it. It's like, oh, I'm not good. They've objected to so many things in my presentation. That just gives me another reason to come back as I overcome all their objections.
Got you. Well, Tim, thanks for bringing clarity to those statements.
Oh, you're welcome for pointing them out.
Collaboration and teamwork are often crucial in sales environments. How have you cultivated strong relationships with your team and colleagues to achieve your goals?
It's essential. I cannot be successful without respect and admiration of the professionals that I work with. I'm surrounded by a great team, surrounded by great management. I can't say that for every organization that I've worked in, but I can clearly say that from top to bottom in Ingenico US, from Peter Stewart to Skip Hinshaw to Tracy Klein, my manager, to my collaborators internally and internal managers and product managers and project managers, we all have our partners in mind in creating something for them that's special, that's worthwhile, that's valuable, and that can be long-lasting. Again, we talk about this about awards, and we kind of keep coming back to certain things, but it's mm-hmm. really interesting, but it's true. Awards aren't won by individuals. They're won by teamwork, and I'm surrounded by a great one. That's internally. Externally, the same thing has to happen. We have to have respect for our customers' process and our partners' work environment and who manages what. And don't rely on one key person, one focal person, to handle everything for you within that organization. Now, that's a fine line. You don't want to cross over the authority of what you have as an outside partner, an outside vendor, so to speak, into someone else's business. But at the same time, relying on one person to do everything for you within that organization is a very big mistake. So multiple layers of relationships need to be built, not only with me as the focal point, but my internal collaborators at Ingenico as well. And this is simply called team selling, but it really works both ways with our partners and internally here at Ingenico. It's a team sale. It's essential. You cannot be successful over time without this.
As a leader in payment sales, what advice would you offer to aspiring professionals looking to make their mark in the industry?
Sure. And we do have a lot of young people now. If you look at the 40 under 40, one of my guys is on that list. Andy Cook is on it. I'm very proud of Andy. He came into this industry 2 years ago, barely knowing how to run a credit card transaction. And he's one of the top people we have at Ingenico today. And he was recognized by ETA as one of our 40 under 40. And he's going to be at the Transact as well. I'm very proud of him. And he's worked very, very hard. And that's my advice. If you like payments, if you like the electronic payments industry, and it's a fascinating industry, it's ever-changing, it is dynamic by its definition, it's dynamic, and it's exciting. And if you want to be a part of this industry, learn all you can learn. Don't rely on product knowledge or company knowledge to get you where you need to be. One of the great things about ETA is that they have all of these learning classes out there that you can be a member of. Most of them are little or no charge. And it just takes initiative to do it. I can tell you that after almost 30 years, really, in this industry, my learning has never stopped. I'm learning something new every day. And as I mentioned earlier, the changes in this industry are coming so fast now. And the way payments are going to be handled, this is the nature of the business now. This is the nature of the beast. Change is going to be managed almost daily. And in order to stay abreast of that, one needs to learn and one needs to continue to learn. And don't,
in real
the
time.
Piece of advice would be is, the other piece of advice would be persistent. Persistence is probably the most important character attribute someone who does what I do to have. If you're not persistent, and there's a fine line between being persistent and being irritating. I probably have been called both. I know I've been called both. But nevertheless, internally, be persistent. Persistence wins over time.
Got you. Looking back at the last 12 months, 2023, what are you most proud of?
I guess professionally, I'm most proud of the work that my team accomplished. We created record revenue for the fifth straight year within Ingenico. We became an extremely important channel to Ingenico. And I could not be more proud of the effort and the success and the drive of everyone that has been on my team or that we've worked with internally. Professionally, I'm extremely proud of that success. And we're a quarter into 2025, and we want to do this six times in a row.
With that said, we'll be right back.
The Lightning Round, Bridges to Excellence, Inspired Leadership in Payments and FinTech.
Okay, Tim, quick questions, quick response. What one word would you use to describe your career journey so far?
Diligent. I've never been out of work. I had a couple of times where I've been in between jobs, but I've never missed a paycheck. I think that would be it. So diligent. Very diligent.
Got you. Now, what is the one thing you attribute to your career success to the level it is today?
Persistence.
Success means?
Well, success should mean what you want it to mean, whether it's personal or professional. Success comes from within, not externally. And I feel like I am successful. Success is ongoing, is a road. It's not a destination. At least it isn't for me. It's daily, it's weekly, monthly. yearly. And it's not something that's given, it's worked for. Success is a journey and not a destination.
Now, what is the most common misconception about you?
Pushy. Not pushy. I just know what I want.
Persistent.
I want you to be my partner. Yeah.
What has you fired up right now?
With work, it's the industry. What I mentioned earlier, we're in a electric industry, and so many things are touching it. Not just payments, but the way money is handled, the way money is considered, what we call money, crypto versus cash versus the next thing that we're going to be trading on. It's exciting. And I try to stay abreast with as many different arenas, but I mean, it's everywhere. And we're a part of it because that's what we do. We help move money from point A to point B and sometimes back again. That's what we do. It's an incredibly responsible thing that we do, important and responsible thing we do. And we better be very, very good at it, as must all my competitors, because this industry is changing and it's changing daily and we have to stay on top of it. But yeah, it's the industry itself, the electronic payments industry. It's a great place to be.
Tim, we covered a lot today. Any final thoughts or comments before we wrap up?
Well, first of all, just thank you again. This has been thoroughly enjoyable for me. It's an honor that you would even ask me to be on your podcast. I'm very happy that you had asked me to be here and thrilled to do so. And I appreciate this very much. There are fewer years ahead for me than there were behind. I mean, that's just a fact. Unless I plan on living to be 140. Wait a minute. I've aged myself. 135. But in either case, doubtful. So I find myself spending more time being grateful for not just the things that my wife and my family have, but where I'm at and my responsibility to myself and those around me and my company and the people that work with me and our partners to provide them something reliable and dependable. I'm cognizant of that fact, but I'm very thrilled to be ongoing. I've made personal changes in my life. I've dropped a lot of weight naturally. I haven't been on any of these drugs or shots or anything. I just went on a diet and lost 65 pounds. And that's going to help my health. I mean, that's important to me as well. It's got to be. It's got to be important to everyone. So things become in greater focus as one reaches middle 60s. And the important things in life are love and health and family and finance. And economy, work, but staying focused and making sure that I spend valuable time rest and recreating and the valuable time working in the job that I love and the industry I love.
Very well. Now, if someone wants to get in touch with you for more information, how can they reach you?
Sure. You can reach me at Ingenigo at tim.mcweeney. So tim.mcweeney at ingenico.com. You can hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. Shows you how old I am. I'm on Facebook. But if you need me, shoot me an email. Be happy to help.
Now, Tim, again, thanks for being on our show. And to our listeners, as always, thanks for your time as well. And never forget, the more you expect from yourself, the more you excel.
You've been listening to Bridges to Excellence podcast, inspired leadership in payments and fintech. Be sure to join us next time for more conversations with another of your colleagues in payments and fintech. Insightful conversations in their journey to excellence. For transcripts and other materials covered on the show, visit us at desmondnicholson.com.